9.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's the April 2022, and you're on the clock with Aaron Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate the Bahamas. Today, my co-host is Mr. Mark Palmer on a World News. If you want to join the conversation, remember, we're streaming live audio and video on Guardian Talk Radio. You could listen on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or Flow Channel 612. Or download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us juggle and muggle on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. Text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-4796. That's 422-GR96. That's powered by BTC Standard Text Line. You would call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-425. And remember, On the Clock has a WhatsApp account and group. You can add us at 242-428-0719. Good morning, and to you.
Morning.
Let's say congratulations again to Morning Blend and Guardian Radio on their 10th anniversary. And let's start the show by reminding you that the entire 10th anniversary celebrations are brought to you by Drifters, Inventive Intellect, Wild Seed Design, Cheesecake Heaven, Comfort Suites Resort, Y Cares Fashion Center, Atlantis Paradise Island, Duncan, Fusion Superplex, and Bristol Cellars.
Does that mean we get cheesecake today?
I think you missed the cheese, Mark. I'm sorry. Look here, you fixed me right up at the top of the show. I think they had a cheesecake yesterday. Yes, I apologize, but just know that I didn't get any cheesecake either, but I heard that the cheesecake was great. I could see all smiles this morning when I came back into the studios. It was great. So thank you to Cheesecake Heaven, but I can't lie, I did have one of those beautiful cupcakes, and they, what I like about them is they are the perfect size. They are so small that you forget that you ate it by the time you were finishing, that you could have another one guilt-free because you didn't remember you ate the last one. I got a text that it says, can I answer the question for Bristol locations? I mean, you could answer it, but that show is over. That show is over. Here's what I could do for you, though, for texting in with the answers. I can give you a little surprise. So when you finish making your beautiful breakfast beverage, your sparkling wine and orange juice. What do you call them? Samosas? Mimosas? Mm. I don't drink. I'm a hasty. I'm not allowed to drink by law. But yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's cool.
Okay.
We should have more laws like that in the country, you know? But so here's your tip, texter. When you're making your... another giveaway? Ooh, we got another giveaway in studio. So listen, you guys got to stay tuned. After the break, I'm going to give you the question for the giveaway. And the giveaway is dinner for two at Comfort Suites Resorts. Look at how the winner and me are going to have a beautiful dinner. No, the winner and whoever they choose to go with them will have a wonderful dinner at Comfort Suites Resort. So, dear texter, here is your prize. when you're making your mimosa, your sparkling wine and orange juice, you're going to get a little bit fancy. If you're doing it in hog plum season, you're going to get a little hog plum and you're going to muddle it in your orange juice, mm-hmm. right? What I like to do...
Or a little mulberry.
Right, but oh, yeah, a little mulberry.
Beautiful.
Or sea grape mm-hmm. or governor's plum. You're just going to fancy up that mimosa, right? What you do is, like, when your mother-in-law is coming, you got to fancy it up because she don't think you get fancy enough with her child. You just put a little of that hog plum concentrate or mulberry juice and you drizzle that in there. And the beauty of the mulberry juice, right, is because of the density with the mimosa, mm-hmm. the mulberry is going to cling and it's going to drizzle and hold together through. It's going to be beautiful. Trust me. Just remember, call your children so they could drive you home when you finish. Your adult children. Don't let them drink. Let them drive you home. Right? Yeah. That's what you learn in the Hasty Handbook.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, good morning, Mark, I see I got a caller on the line. Let's go to this caller dead quick. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
I am great, sis. You know, I just call you my sis.
Yeah, man, of course.
And good morning to your, that's a guest you have on your show?
Guest co-host for Tuesday.
Co-host. Yeah, yeah. Miss Green, I talked to Dwight, no, Vaughn yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
As a talk show host. Y'all are having this giveaway for a week,
mm-hmm.
right? The introduction... early in the morning when the show starts with Dwight,
mm-hmm.
it's talk show. I never hear the word text show. And I say that to say this.
Uh-huh.
Okay, if a texter texts and they win the prize and they don't want to call, don't they still have to come to the Guardian to pick up their prize and verify their ID?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the difference in calling? That's not
okay.
fair.
I appreciate. Okay, I appreciate what you're saying, you know. That's a good point. I appreciate what you're saying.
I think Dwight said he was going to look into it because, you know, the answers
yeah.
that they were giving out yesterday from Dwight's show, I was, you know, a couple texters went and I trying to figure out how could a person text and it's a talk show.
I got you. Listen, and I was a part of that. I was a part of that problem yesterday because I did the text giveaway. I was supposed
yes,
to do the phone giveaway.
Yes, Mom.
I did the text giveaway. But I can tell you why people text and don't call. Because they are concerned about victimization. That's one part of it, right? Another part of it is that generally in our culture, we have been taught that it's safer to be invisible. It's more effective and strategic. In fact, I gave a presentation regularly on the power of visibility and the privilege of invisibility, right? And so there are some cultural reasons that people subconsciously engage in this behavior. They don't know why,
but
there are strategic reasons why people do it.
Ms. Green,
yeah.
if I text your talk show, right?
Uh-huh.
And you got to relate the text or the whatever I say back to the callers or whoever. That don't make no sense to me because I have a voice. And it's time Bahamian people in this country, I don't care which government, the past government, which is the FM, I was continuously calling.
Mm-hmm.
The government that I support, I continuously call. People call. Voice your voice.
Yeah.
You have a voice.
Now,
anytime when people got to keep you silent in a country.
It's a problem.
It's a problem.
But do it. What we have to do is we have to encourage people. We have to encourage people to engage the process, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Because, first of all, it's their duty. The thing won't work properly unless they engage. It's very important.
But
also, we have
to... You know, I'm not cutting you off. You know how many persons every day that I come in contact with that listen to y'all from Dwight Starr in the morning...
Mm-hmm.
They don't just, after one show I understand they stop.
No, man, we didn't say that. We don't worry about that.
Right?
Let's go.
But anyway, persons tell me that they are afraid to call because someone might notice their voice
uh-huh.
and they get fired from their job.
Uh-huh.
Listen, if that's the precinct that persons want to set in this country, then something has to be wrong with you mentally.
Yep.
Because if I support. You know who I support?
Yeah.
And during all of that time when the past government was there, I was calling, I was giving my opinion, You know, a lot of things that I didn't agree with, and mm-hmm. I still call. So I'm trying to figure out, how is it that I can call when the past government was there, and this is the government that I support, and they're still here?
So
people, you have a voice, people in this country.
Yes.
Speak your voice.
Mm. Absolutely do it. Thank you.
All right?
That's
how you got one vote, you got one voice.
No, my
day,
absolutely. You get many voices. Every day you wake up, you could have a new voice. But thank you, DeWitt. Okay, you raised some important things that I want to touch on. Now, first of all, people are concerned about being victimized. Now, the term victimization is a very sort of narrow term, and it speaks specifically to people in power at the top of the power structure, dominant, taking advantage of unfairly treating people beneath them with less power than them that are connected. See, it's about a connection. You have to be connected to them in some system, and they use their power to disadvantage you. Now, although we're not talking politics, in the social space, it works the same way. And people are concerned about being victimized, marginalized, treated differently, disadvantaged, because of what it is they express. And if you want the proof, come talk to me about it. I can tell you about my personal experiences over the last 20 years at both the political level and the social and personal level. But there are ways in which we discourage people from voicing mm-hmm. their opinions, voicing anything. And I can tell you all this quick story. I wasn't going to tell it because my personal business isn't always for this space, but thank you, DeWitt. I bought two papers this morning in the food store. I paid for them, and then I walked to the stand, which is near the exit, to pick him up. A gentleman was on his phone standing directly in front of the stand, about 2 feet or 2 to 2.5 feet away from it. I paused because it looked as if he was getting ready to bend down and pick one of them up. I realized that he was reading the headline. So I paused, and I said, excuse me, and I bent down to pick up the two papers. Now, you would think that the man would step back further because I did not intend to be that close to his crotch, to his genitals, right? He did not feel the need to step back. It's fine. It's cool. I quickly grabbed my papers, and I stood up, and I stepped back because he's still looking as if he's going to lean in and pick up a paper. So I stop, I lean back, and I look at him about to say, if you're going to pick up a paper, grab it. I'm waiting. He looks at me and tells me, miss, if you want to go, you could go. You know, why are you making a... This guy started rowing me in the food store because I paused to determine whether we were going to buck up into each other because he insisted on standing in the walkway, blocking trolleys, blocking walkers, blocking people who wanted to get the paper while he's on his phone call. And he got mad at me and decided to publicly embarrass me because I didn't want to buck up into him. I didn't want to get any closer to his genitals. And I wanted to just be polite and indicate to him that I'm about to move through. That boy tried to embarrass me. And DeWitt, that's a part of the reason why people stop talking. That's a part of the reason why people pull back. They stop saying the things they know need to be said. Because one ridiculous bully in a space will overturn every rule that we as a collective have determined is necessary for our ease of movement, our effective and healthy and safe engagement. They have decided to turn it over. Why? Because they can. Because who can stop them? And the model, the reason I like them best, especially when we in these commercial spaces, because my money good, I have money, I could spend it. What you could do about it? What you saying? Right, DeWitt, that's why people, and that's at the social level. We haven't gotten to the political level yet, where politicians and political agents, that's y'all people who you send out to do your dirty work. Because you have civil servants to do the actual work. You know what I'm saying? You have community leaders to do the actual work. You have constituency team members to do the actual work.
It sounds like he was just a rude man. But, you know, what you're saying about safe engagement, you mm-hmm. know, that's a critical part of democracy.
Yeah.
And I think in a lot of things there is. You know, you do have political debate, but when it gets to the point where you are espousing something that is going to damage the government or damage the elites or bring something up that shouldn't, mm-hmm. there's no safe engagement there.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the problem lies when you get too close to airing some dirty laundry that should not be aired. That's when you're going to be in trouble.
And in this particular political environment, if what you're doing is potentially going to disrupt what we're doing, especially if we haven't put a lot of effort into it, we haven't put a lot of thought into it, y'all, what they call it, y'all meddling advocates and y'all meddling activists like Scooby-Doo and the mystery theater vehicle van, right? Y'all just come in here and upset every poorly planned scheme that we have in place, right? Like, just that. But the energy, the lengths at which, you know, the people will go to chastise you, to punish you, to put you in your place, to disrupt what it is that you're doing, is really extended beyond, I think, what is even acceptable is the right word, but beyond what is acceptable in the space. Now, before I get to y'all calls, I want y'all to know why I sort of took on this topic. Because we're having a conversation this morning about something that happened in the U.S. recently. Just a couple of days, the Biden administration has implemented the frame or receiver rule, which is an amendment to U.S. firearms legislation in reference to this thing called ghost guns. And so we're going to talk about this event in the U.S. and how it impacts the Bahamas. And so, DeWitt, you know, this thing that you were talking about and the story that I told, I want us to remember that while we transition into this segment here. Wow. Mark, look at the text. Wow. Okay. DeWitt, the texters are not pleased. The texters say, look here, this is a reasonable and legitimate form of engagement. Texter says, hi, Aaron, I'm Ahana too. I'm glad you won the tip. Just stop. Great show as usual. Tell DeWitt. Why are you discriminating against texters? You're anti-texter. We ain't scared. We wake in. You want us to get in trouble. That's another reason, DeWitt, why people text and not call. Anyway, you say, Guardian have the most texts in the country. Stop hating on us. Please tell that caller that you don't have to verbally speak to talk. I don't call because I don't have time. Tying on a line waiting to be answered. I use my voice through a text. Right, and I like that. Right, with that as well is that my obligation as the show host is to find the text. Not to say, well, you didn't call, so you didn't get a voice. It's my obligation. You've made your voice known. And that's something for the government to hear as well. It's not just the easiest means of communication that you pay attention to. Your obligation is to pay attention to all. Right? And another texter said, yeah, we are subject to being punished from our bosses, especially if they think we should be waking as opposed to calling talk shows. And he said, they have a text line, DeWitt. That's why people text. Somebody said, Aaron, no one can bully you. I saw how big you are. No offense, but you are tall and muscular. So personally, I'm afraid of your size, so I can't imagine that. Okay, I mean, like, I'm 5'7 and a half, buddy. And I add a half. The passport office say I lie. But it's more than that. I appreciate what you're saying. A lot of people say it, man, Aaron, I look at you and you look like a huge woman. You look like you grand and grandiose. You look far bigger than you are. And I can tell you what, text, a lot of people are intimidated by that. And it sort of evokes within them a negative response.
But you're not a bully.
Not at all.
That's the difference.
You go ask any old person in this country if I was a bully. I give up seat, open doors.
Yeah, you have strong views, but that's something that should be embraced.
Yeah, but be very concerned about women that seem larger than life. But and I understand it, particularly in communities where women have been the lead of the household and you feel like your mother, the lead disciplinarian, has been overbearing and you know, and then you come from these cultures where you believe that your parents have a right to half murder you to death, and that parent that does the half murdering is a woman. Like, I could appreciate how y'all get all of these different feelings about women who make you feel uncomfortable, make you feel like they're trying to domineer you, make you feel like their voice is louder than yours. Right? That's why DeWitt is telling y'all, though, don't feel afraid. So that's what DeWitt's trying to tell y'all. Don't feel that way.
But there's also a perception that short women are biggity. Because my wife's quite short. She went into a store the other day, and somebody said, "You're actually quite nice for a short woman." Can you believe that?
Wow. Imagine that. That person, like they half get it. Like, what they don't see is that short women, because of their stature, have to speak up louder than everyone else. They have to jump up to be seen.
And noticed, yeah.
Yeah. They have to, the system has caused that. Like we are responsible for that. That's how systems work. It's not the words on the paper, it's how we enact those words that cause these dynamics.
Yeah.
Man, Dexter, I agree with you. No one could bully me, but they try. I could be honest with you, they try. But they're lucky. The way my insurance is set up, I am not allowed to bully anybody. It's just the way it is. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Miss Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you, Sparky. How you doing?
I know what kind of big, tall, bully woman they think you are. That can't be there in Green. I know. The only time I know you'll be bullied is late in the night when you're up and then people treat teeth and coconut.
How you know? Me and the raccoons.
Come on, come on, all them fellas will get all them pile of coconut from on side of the road. I tell them, and Miss Green has teeth them in the night and sell them to the boys for 50 cents. But anyway, if you give me a minute here, I just want to respond to that Texan question. Because, see, I did a talk show a long time, and, you know, a long time, long, long time. Before the talk days was open, ZNS had you call in show late at night, 10 o'clock, with Tyson Forbes and Steve.
Yeah.
Long time ago, before Mr. Ingram opened up the talk show, we was talking in the night. But what you don't understand is that there's two parts of the text. First of all, you pay for every text.
Mm-hmm.
So the telephone companies, they make money on every text go out.
Yeah.
Both the telephone companies, every text you read, that text, they paid for that.
Yeah.
The calls are free. Nobody pays for a call coming in. I'm not paying for this call coming into you. This is free.
Yeah.
That's another thing. And I know for a fact, working the telco, when I used to make calls during the day, I would take my lunch hour or my break, go in the cafeteria or go outside and make calls on my own cellular phone. But because everybody knew Sparky's voice, I used to get emails from the general manager, my senior manager, threatening me to lose my job because I was calling during waking hours.
Yeah.
But although I was on my own break, by the union I was entitled to the break, by the union I'm entitled to lunch, and I was on my own phone out in the backyard in the mall at Maradon making the call to the talk show, I was still threatened of losing my job. So there's validity in those people saying they're scared they want to take part in the show, but they're scared they could lose the job. And people will victimize you in the Bahamas.
Yes.
Another thing before I go, Ms. Green, when it comes to talk show, when new talk show people come on, they start off by telling everybody, call, these are the numbers and so forth. Now, after a while, when they become popular, and they pick out their special people that they like to call, they start victimizing the people they don't like. Like, with certain people, they can talk all day on the phone. Certain people, you got 30 seconds. Cut it. Right. Bam.
But look here, Sparky. Sparky, don't cuss me. I got to cut you. Look here. I got to cut you. Okay. So, thank you, Sparky. Thank you, callers. I did forget. I got to give away these two, the dinner for two at Comfort Suites. So, here is the trivia question. Then, producer, let's go to a break. When we come back, I can give the question first, then we can go to a break. So, here is the question, right? So, turbot fish is good for two things. One consumable and one non-consumable that is not turbot. Mm. Right? So you could do two things with turbot that is, like, you could cook it and you could use it in two different ways, right? But it's not turbot. So tell me, What do you make with turbot that don't taste like turbot? And what do you use turbot, the part of the turbot, for when you finish cleaning it up? Right, like a upcycled use. There's two things. What do you cook with turbot that don't taste like turbot? And what do you use turbot for besides eating it? When we come back from the break, call us. We're taking calls. We're taking calls for the answer. We're taking calls. Text. It's a two-part question, texter. Plus, you texted that before we said, okay, the person actually literally texted before I said we were only taking calls. So we're taking texts and calls. But I cannot give the answer to the prize to you first texter, that's 5020, because it's a two-part question. You got to get both parts. Producer, take us to the break. When we come back from the break, you can trust me, Mark is in the room, and he's going to make sure that I take the answers in the order that we receive them. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Aaron Green and Mark Palmer. We'll be right back.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always. You're always covering me.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Aaron Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Happy 10th anniversary, Guardian Radio. Here's to 10 more years of fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Got a text here that says, Ms. Green, gas is $6.19. You see a new day and bread is $4.70. New day. First of all, rock oven. That's all I have to say, rock oven. Second of all, listen, I'm going to have to figure out how to get the people in the gas station, the gas dealer union on. Let's have this conversation. Mm-hmm. It's an important conversation. Because I think it's worthy of lobby, right? Like, what they get out of the deal is insufficient. And we as Bahamians need to realize something. You got to pump your own gas. Even when the prices were good, you got to tip. If you don't pump your own gas, you got to tip. You got to tip these people if you ain't pumping your own gas. Not just that, you got to be fast. You got to be ready to go. It's not time when you pull into the gas station, think of NASCAR. When people come in and get the car, when they pull into the pit and get their car tuned up, that's what you're doing. Bam, bam, bang, out. Because the more customers they can get in and out in a day is the more money they can make, right? Mm-hmm. Bang. Oh, wow. Okay, we got to go to the caller. First caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Yeah, and I ain't off no quick.
You ain't come to answer. You ain't called to answer the question?
Hey, caller, what you doing? Talking or just doing quiz?
Me talking and doing quiz.
Yeah, I thought I can.
Okay, but...
Well, what the topic? First of all, good morning to your guest on your call, sorry.
All right, good morning, Mark. He's saying good morning, to you.
Good morning.
All right, so today what we were going to talk about, right, is in the U.S., the U.S. Department of Justice has released a new law at the federal level called the Frame or Receiver Law.
And basically, the Coast
Guard. Right, basically between the years of 2016 to 2020, that's 4 years, they say they recovered nearly 24,000 ghost guns. Now, a ghost gun is a gun that basically is made privately. Like if you get you could go online and buy a gun kit.
YouTube.
Right, or you could get a 3D printer.
Right.
And you put the gun together in your house and it doesn't have serial numbers on the pieces of the gun to track it. The U.S. gun legislation has very strict rules. The serial numbers are supposed to be on specific pieces of the gun. And so they finally passed a law to regulate the manufacturing and, I think, sale of these ghost guns.
Is it true?
What's up, Aaron and your co-host? Mm-hmm. I think the U.S. government is late. This ghost gun was being made almost 2 decades ago, since we had the internet and the YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, I told you the tax commissioner asked them if they know how many ghost guns in the Bahamas.
Well, listen,
underground, there's a lot.
You know, the police are so busy right now. What I did find, though, was I looked up our Firearms Act. And so there are two pieces of legislation. But look here, you know my other callers in Texas, they're dead mad because they won't win the seats, the tickets,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but we got to talk more. Okay. I know. First of all, continuous anniversary to the Guardian Radio, but we got to talk more about that.
Right, and I think it's important because there's been
we got all month. Uh-huh.
Listen, there's been an increase in calls locally for Bahamians to be allowed to own handguns and to be allowed to own guns for personal use, right?
Yes, I'm the Bahamian. That's not the United States. I feel like I love the United States. I can go get my gun and protect myself. But
you know...
Oh, yeah, I didn't fill on the Roy Bama's police for the handful.
But listen, look here. I mean, you had a compelling argument just now, you know. You had a compelling argument. You got to rely on the Royal Bahamas Police Force who tell you every time you call, they ain't got no car. Or if your car get breaking into, you got to bring your car there.
They don't have the car, they got the criminals get. My God.
Right.
Like, they need to start giving our police force consult weapons.
I know. Listen, I got to go now. But we'll talk more. I have to
all
say
right.
this. I hope we're not going to treat this discussion like we treated the discussion on the national sport. Because I heard that they were going to change it. And then I heard that they changed it. And the only other discussion I heard was the discussion that I hosted on my show. And so we got to talk about this because Bahamians are demanding it more. And that's just going to drive more illegal ownership. Because a lot of these guys on the street with these illegal guns have them to protect themselves. You know? Anyway, let's get to that caller. Caller, you are on the clock. Good morning, caller.
Hello.
Hi.
Good
morning. You calling to answer the trivia question?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Okay.
The first part.
Yes.
The first part. The turbot is used for men's turbot, of course.
Right, but what it tastes. What's the full name? What it tastes like?
It tastes like men's crawfish.
There you go. That's the thing. You know how many man done. You know how many times I almost get married because the man turned the men's turbot into men's crawfish.
That's just right.
I'm telling you. That's right. Your old man got it. Okay. Second part.
And the second part, the skin, the hard skin is used for accessories like jewelry and shoes.
That was not the answer I was looking for, but it is the correct answer because that is true. The answer I was looking for was to use it as a scrubber in the kitchen.
Okay.
But you're right. People are using it to make accessories and jewelry as well, so I can't give you a wrong. So here's what I need you to do, caller. You need to give your number to the producer. Do not hang up the call. You must give your number to the producer.
Okay.
Or I got to give your prize to somebody else.
No, I'm hanging up.
And you sound smart. You don't need the prize. You already know the psych. You could win yourself a wife right away. Anyway, thank you, caller. Thank you, caller, for getting the correct answer. And you have won dinner for two at Comfort Suites Resort. I asked him to talk to the producer so he'll know where to pick me up. The producer got to tell him where to pick me up. I'm so excited. Anyway, congratulations. Thank you for participating. To all of my texters that call been on the line for a good while, I hope that you trust that I treated you fairly. Let me get through a couple more of these texts, Mark, before we dive into the conversation. Somebody says, also, I'm not the conversational type, so sometimes I want to put a comment in for consideration, but not for a time-consuming conversation. Not everyone like you do it, want to engage in the same way. Thank you. I appreciate your text very much, Texter. The other texter says, a text is a voice in the system. That's right. So it's up to the person who is responsible for receiving that voice and sharing that voice. The onus is on us to ensure equal and equitable access for voices in the public space, right? And so, mm-hmm. you know, it's you have a duty of care. Another text, who said they scared Miss Green? They starting, who say they scared Miss Green? They starting something. No, man, I appreciate some people. Like, not everybody big and biggity and bold like me, you know. Not everybody. It's a privilege. I need you all to notice it's a privilege to be able to say, look here, my Grammy from Wolf Road next to the park. It's a privilege to know six generations of your history. It's a privilege to have that connection to your ancestors to fuel you and big you up. Texas said, Miss Green, I waiting on Hog Plum Tree Branch. I can't find any and would appreciate if you can let me know where I can get two of them so I can plant them, please. You can believe the person, you can believe Sparky. I can't tell you where to go and procure branches from, but I can tell you that there are a couple of farms, horticulturalists on Hannah Road who are propagating trees. And I would tell you, check the Gladstone Road Farmers Market every Saturday for trees. And as always, check the Horticultural Society. They can always link you to people who are growing hog plum trees. Said, I don't call often, but I'm a big gardening and farming person, and I know lots of people listen to Guardian. So thank you very much. Another text here says, minced fish and compost. Minced turbot and the hard skin is used for shoes and other accessories. Thank you, Mr. Roll. Airing this Guardian anniversary, so why are you asking questions about plum and fish? What'd that have to do with Guardian? Please stop the nonsense. Ask about Guardian Radio. Are you asking questions that people love and know and thing? Thank you for texting me, texter. Thank you very much. Say, cook like tuna, use skin like for sandpaper for scrubbing pots. Hello, Juan McCartney. Congratulations to Guardian Radio on 10 years anniversary. Listen, all light-skinned people do not look alike. Although I am saying that Juan is blessed to be as handsome as I am. Thank you. I remember the formation of the Customs Immigration Union, and we were on Guardian Radio with Carlton Smith dealing with issues. Thanks for the coverage, Juan, and continue to be a voice. From Rudolph C. Stubbs, trade unionist, mayor of Grand Bahama, Shalom. Well, look here, thank you, Rudolph, and I sure Juan receives that energy that it has been sent with. And thank you. Thank you as well. Great show as usual. Question, you see what us texters text. You sure you want us call? Tell, do it. Be careful what you ask for. Yeah, good morning to one of my favorite texters. I agree. And a text is a space where somebody could say something and the host, like if it's good, I will moderate it. I will pull out the things while the texter is being facetious and cracking joke and things that can't be said on the radio. I still appreciate the point, and I pull that out, and I reshape the text, and I hope my texters don't mind that. Okay, Mark, you got 10 minutes. You think...
Nuns.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, our neighbor to the north.
Yeah.
How similar are we to them culturally? Because every gun debate has a kind of cultural perspective. You look at Switzerland,
right.
High gun ownership, but every Swiss person goes through the army.
Yeah.
Or every Swiss male. I'm not sure about females. So different culture.
Right.
And when they carry their guns, they have to keep their ammunition separate.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they have very much, much fewer gun deaths when I looked at it. But it's such a heated debate.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at, you know, you look at the states, but whichever statistics you believe, either 88 guns per 100 people or 120. It's a huge amount of guns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many guns do we have here? I don't know if we have that data. I saw somewhere somebody mentioning 33
right, and
guns per 100 people.
And you mentioned a study.
And, yeah, and there were UB did a study, so it'd be really good to get whoever wrote that study on. But it was about 10 years ago,
yeah.
So that data needs to be upgraded. So they're all these debates are sort of rooted in our culture, and you know, you're going to have a different debate in the U.S. than here, but definitely ghost guns. That's been worrying me for some time because I've seen on YouTube, you know, how people are showing you how to get these printers, make these guns. Then you can go out and
now,
do something.
Now, listen, very rarely do I give kudos to BPL, but we don't have electricity on long enough for somebody to complete a gun in one cycle.
Yeah.
You think? I mean, yeah. Do you think we have the infrastructure? We certainly don't have the infrastructure for commercial manufacturing of weapons,
no.
Right? But we can. We do have to be aware of small scale production, 3D mm-hmm. printing, mm-hmm. And metalwork and forging spaces, right? But like you say, the culture is different. We're not a continent of right. millions and millions of acres of rural land, mm-hmm. right? We're not in the bush concerned about bears. I mean, a raccoon ran up to my deli tree yesterday. But he was in the backyard. And I ran inside. I ain't ashamed. But I'm not going to insist that I need a shotgun to go sit in my yard and take care of these raccoons. Mm-hmm. It's not a necessity. And I think, though, but because of our proximity to the U.S. and our sort of consumption by U.S. media, like we're not consuming it, it's consuming us.
Right.
Many of us forget that we're not American.
We don't have a Second Amendment. And
right.
So that's what people are grasping, this inalienable right. But it's for a well-armed militia,
uh-huh.
whatever that means. That's being debated in the Supreme Court. And that was actually, when we look back, you know, that amendment was brought in basically by the anti-federalists as protection mm-hmm. against tyranny from their politicians. But they could not have anticipated at that time that people would have a musket, you know, a musket which was 20% effective in accuracy and would take about, I don't know, half a minute to load, very different from a semi-automatic pistol where you can, you know, shoot through. So I don't think they could have anticipated that. But the other thing is,
Mark,
Aaron,
you just said that the musket is like Bahamas yeah. government.
I didn't. You said
that. I mean, I said it. My bad. Go on.
Yeah, so, and then you have to look at the other reason why you had well-armed militias. It was mm-hmm. to stop slave uprisings. That mm-hmm. was the initial, and then that sort of morphed into the police force and other things. So it's a very different history than we have today. So we don't have that Second Amendment, which can be so polarizing.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that is for certain in the States is that most people want stricter gun safety or gun control, whatever you want to call it, but the politicians don't. Because mm-hmm. if you look at the Pew surveys, 90% of people want background checks, like 80%. I've got them here.
But after the January 6th, whatever you want to call it, insurrection, riot, mm-hmm. Circus, you would think that the state wants to clamp down on gun ownership. And that the political issue really is just pandering to citizens. You would think that, right? Like, we just, because the people want guns. That's why we're promoting it, right?
When you look at the data, you know, yeah. I always like to go to the data. And then, you know, I'm looking at some data from maybe 5 years ago, but I doubt it had really changed. So 97% of gun owners support universal background checks. So that's not controversial. 67% support a nationwide ban on assault weapons. So the vast majority of people want it, but the politicians don't.
Yeah.
Because we know they're financed by the NRA, which is a gun lobby.
Right.
83% support mandatory waiting periods for gun purchases. I mean, 82% approve of banning gun sales to people on no-fly lists. But the last administration changed that legislation and allowed terrorists to have guns, people who are no-fly risk can buy a gun legally in the United States. And if you're mentally ill, you can buy a gun legally in the United States. See, that sort of stuff is crazy.
Now, listen, if I can't fly, that means I have to drive. And if right. if I have to drive, that means I could break down in the Everglades. And if I break down in the Everglades, I'm going to need me a high-powered weapon because there are a million...
It's a dangerous place.
...gators and pythons in the Everglades. Right? So I could appreciate... How do we make a distinction, right, between somebody who is on a no-fly list because they're seriously suspected of terroristic actions and somebody who's on a no-fly list because they refuse to put on their mask?
Right. Now, these are people that are not allowed to travel for very, you know, for nefarious reasons.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, it's kind of when you look at democracy, it seems to have broken down.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be interesting to know what Bahamians want. What do they want? You know, do they want more guns? What type of guns do they want? What's the registration process? That would be really interesting because it seems like what people want and what the government gives you in other countries, well, I'm looking to our neighbor in North, is very different. I think mm-hmm. in the UK, I lived in the UK for many years. It was benign. I'm used to a culture when I lived there, educated there, people not wearing guns.
Yeah.
My cousin lives in Orange County. He has to call the parents when his kids go over for playtime, and he has to ring them up. He rings them up and says, do you have a gun in your house? And is it in a safe? And if it isn't, his kids don't go to that party.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's crazy. I would never even imagine that you'd ever have to do that.
Right, but it is what you have to do.
Yeah.
So it is what you have to
different,
do.
Very different. And I hope our debate doesn't get swung over to that culture because I don't think Bahamians are like that. I don't think we're... Do you think we're as violent?
I don't think so. And I think the violence that we're seeing are really responses to structural violence, right? Like, we're not a violent people, but we're hungry. And we're tired of watching people eat with the proceeds of our labor. You know, I don't think we are inherently violent people. But at the same time, I think we are becoming more and more frustrated. I think we are seeing a devolution or a breakdown in the traditional systems that have mm-hmm. tended to hold us together. And I don't think that we are ready yet for, I call it like common gun ownership. Right now, the law states that you can get a license to own a shotgun for hunting purposes. If you're a business person, you can apply for permission for a gun for protection and security services, if you're a politician or high-profile mm-hmm. person as well. I think a lot of people think that they've been authorized to purchase their shotgun as a security method, right, for protecting their homes and themselves. I've heard I've seen some young people, like, they just travel with it, right? Because it's in the case and it's safe, and I go and hunt. I tell the police I go and hunt tomorrow. But a lot of people don't really...
So where do we hunt? Because I remember, you know, when my family came here over 50 years ago, I know people did hunt. They used to take their guns into the bush and go after pigeon and stuff like that. But is there anywhere in Nassau where you could actually
hunt? Yeah, I think, there's Southwest, right? I think it's in the Southwest area. And there are rules, I think there are rules about it. I don't know what the rules are. I've never been hunting.
So you could just go at one time into the bush with your gun and start shooting.
Right, I think you can, right? There are seasons, so mm-hmm. there are indicated times which you can hunt, when you can hunt it. There are rules about how you can shoot, where you could shoot, towards homes, that sort of thing. But that space is slowly being restricted, right, with the expansion of high-end developments and low-end and regular housing developments. Mark, I am so sorry. We are all out of time. I didn't give my producer any music to play for me today, but that's good. This is a crazy conversation. Guns and alcohol and... Yeah. Wow. Producer, thank you so much. Let me just try to read through a couple of these texts. The texter says, thanks for acknowledging Sparky. Yeah, man. I want us to change the way that we think about who engages and how we engage, right? And sometimes I want to ask you all to trust me that I'm attempting to pull the most valuable for the collective from all of your contributions. And I don't think anybody's contribution is unworthy, even though sometimes I talk and run out of time. To be honest, I don't think I should have to go to a seller to make my own product if I am capable of making it myself, as long as I am not selling it to others. I shouldn't have to be micro-regulated either. So if I can make my own shotgun dirt cheap, I shouldn't have to. But from your boy them at the... Yeah. Right? It has to be registered. Also, handguns and concealed carry needs to be legalized. I don't even want concealed mango carry. The number of people I see sneaking out these people yard with fruit. I'm just not sure if we're ready collectively and culturally. Great show as usual. They making ghost guns. They need them to fight ghosts in Cat Island. Thank you, Texter. Thank you. You can stew turbot skin like crawfish, or you can scrub the floor with it, and you can scrub your skin with it. Thank you very, very much, Texters. Thank you to my producer. Again, thank you to Drifters, Inventive Intellect, Wild Seed Designs, Cheesecake Heaven, Comfort Suites Resort, YCares Fashion Center, Atlantis, Paradise Island, Duncan, Fusion, Superplex, and Bristol Cellars on the 10th anniversary celebrations. And thank you, Mark, for another informative conversation.
Very welcome.
Thank you so much. But we're going to continue this one.
Definitely.
It's a must-do. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio. Guardian Radio AM is up next. And remember, Talking Heads with Naughty at 4 p.m. Stay tuned all day.
Saturdays when you're listening, Guardian Radio, the speed that lies. On Sundays, the political review with Quincy Parker. You know how that be. Then we got Let's Talk.